The Old Testament lesson for the fourth Sunday in Lent from Isaiah chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. This is the sermon text this morning. In that day you will say, I will give thanks to you, Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you comfort me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust him and will not be afraid, because Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, proclaim his name, declare among the peoples what he has done, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done amazing things. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, daughter of Zion, for the Holy One of Israel is great among you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Give your attention again to the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah chapter 12. I'll just read the first two verses. In that day you will say, I will give thanks to you, Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you comfort me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust him and will not be afraid, because Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is the word of our God. And so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, the season of Lent is a season of repentance. That's why we bring out the black robe. That's why we have purple paraments. Because it's a time for us to grieve over our sinfulness. It's a time where our praise is generally subdued. So we have these customs during the season of Lent in our worship, as well as we omit the Gloria, because we don't want to be too exuberant in our songs of praise. And we don't use the Alleluias when we sing the gospel proclamation, because we reserve those Alleluias as we look forward and anticipate that wonderful, joyful celebration of Easter Sunday morning when we sing those Alleluias again. And I can understand that. I appreciate those sentiments that we subdue our songs of praise. But I'll be honest, that's a difficult custom and practice for me. I don't know about you, but I'm not personally too fond of that custom of omitting glorias and alleluias during Lent. Because, boy, in Lent especially, we have reason to praise God. And that's what alleluia means. Praise the Lord. Praise Yah, the Lord. Especially in this season, we have reason to praise the Lord. Because even though it's a season of repentance, it's the season of the most genuine and the deepest gratitude from us as believers for the depth of love that our Savior Jesus had for us that led him to sacrifice himself on the cross to make full and complete and perfect payment for all of our sins, to rescue us. Yes, that's the focus of this season. Jesus rescues us from our sins. And how can we not be joyful? And how can we not sing out our songs of praise to God, especially in this season, to thank him for his salvation? That's why I like especially this fourth Sunday in Lent. Because here today, we're giving thanks to God because he has become our salvation. That's what the fourth Sunday in Lent is all about. It's marveling at. It's rejoicing in. It's even singing songs of praise and proclaiming that incredible salvation that God has for us. A work of his grace. A work of his undeserved love for us, undeserving sinners. He's gracious to us to save us from our sins. Look at the gospel lesson, the prodigal son. as Jesus told that story so that we might know not how wicked the son was, but how great God's love is for us who have sinned against him, wayward sinners. Jesus told that story so that we would rejoice with him and be glad in God's salvation for us. And look at that epistle from Romans today, chapter 8. Is there a better chapter in the Bible which begins by saying, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? We're in this wonderful protective bubble through faith in Jesus, which has kept us safe from anything that could harm us. His undeserved love for us that surrounds us as believers. That's salvation that Isaiah proclaimed in our sermon text for today, that calls us to sing. And it's great that today, the fourth Sunday in Lent, also falls on that fifth Sunday of the month when it's customary at St. Paul's to use morning prayer, because that's an order of worship which really doesn't subdue the praise to God, that sings wonderful songs of praise to the God of our salvation. We won't sing the Te Deum, but it's a song of praise for God saving us, which is an element of all of morning prayer. It used to be called morning praise. That's what Isaiah calls us to do. He calls us today in our gospel, in our Old Testament, to proclaim the wonderful work of God for us. To look and see that God is our salvation, so that we sing of that salvation and proclaim it to all the world. This text, Isaiah chapter 12, is known as the first song of Isaiah. And what a magnificent song it is. You have before you the whole chapter of Isaiah chapter 12, 6 verses. It's not real long, but the entire thing sings of the greatest acts of all. It sings of God's greatest works. It sings of God's work of salvation. Isaiah introduced the book of his prophecy in the first 12 chapters. This is really like the conclusion of his introduction to his prophecy, where he sets the stage for that most magnificent God and for the most magnificent work of that God for our salvation. He does that right before he goes into, in chapter 13 and following, a series of judgments, of condemnations against one nation after another for rebellion, for wickedness, and for sin. You see, it wasn't really an easy message that Isaiah had to proclaim. God was angry, and he's right to be angry. He's not wrong. We are the ones who are wrong, and the whole world is wrong and is condemned, has fallen into sin. God is right to be angry with all of us. So here Isaiah acknowledges that truth as he begins, though you were angry with me. How personal Isaiah gets in this song, the first song of Isaiah. How honest, how direct, and how true. God's anger is against me. David speaks about that, spoke that way as well when he penned Psalm 51, when he wrote, against you only have I sinned and have done this evil in your eyes. So you are justified when you sentence me. You are blameless when you judge. And you hear that wonderful confession as Jesus expressed it by the prodigal son in the story that he told in the gospel lesson for today. I have sinned against heaven and against you, Father. To recognize the true nature of our sins, they're not just against other people or even things that we've done against ourselves. They're sins against God. And because of those sins, God is angry. And God is right to be angry. He's blameless when he judges and condemns. It's not a sinful anger from God. It's a blameless anger. He's righteous in his anger. Because the sin is mine. The fault is mine. The wickedness and the rebellion and the turning away from God is all on me. The guilt is on me. Though you were angry with me, Isaiah begins. Oh, but that's not Isaiah's point here, is it? Yes, the confession and the acknowledgement of sin is genuine and true. But Isaiah goes on, I will give thanks to you, Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you comfort me. I turned away from God in my sinful rebellion, but God did not turn away from me. Instead, something else turned away. It was that anger that God had toward me because of my sin, that righteous and genuine and true anger, God turned that away. And instead, he fills me with comfort. He fills me with his mercy. He fills me with his gracious, undeserved love. So that Yah, Jehovah, the Lord, is my salvation. That's where we get our theme for this sermon for today, from verse 2. That text gives us that sermon theme. Behold, God is my salvation. Do you see how beautiful our God is? This is the Jehovah God, the Lord, the God of free and faithful grace. Here on this fourth Sunday in Lent, we see that grace of the God of free and faithful grace, Jehovah, Yah, the Lord. He wants us to see it. He wants us to know it. He says today, look, behold, pay attention. And what are we looking at? What are we beholding? Behold, God is my salvation. That's what the Hebrew says in that beginning of verse 2. I'm sorry, the ESV translation lacks here in this instance. It doesn't cut it to say, surely God is my salvation. No, God is calling us to look and to see. He's drawing attention to it with the strongest word that he can. Behold, God is my salvation. Can you be more bold? Can you draw stronger attention to this that must be seen, that this must be known? And what is it that we see? God saved us. When we were rebellious sinners, God saved us. When he was angry with us, and with good reason, his anger turned away, and he saved us. Behold, God is my salvation. Isaiah goes on to speak about when that takes place. When? He says, in that day. Twice he says that in the text. And what is this day? This is the time of Christ. A time that we are in right now in this season of Lent. The New Testament era, which began when Christ, the Lord, was born of a virgin. Isaiah foretold that in chapter 7 in that big introduction of Isaiah. It started when that righteous branch, the shoot from the stump of Jesse, which Isaiah spoke about in Isaiah chapter 11, right before this text, when that one came, when he arises, when Jesus comes to earth. Jesus, the Savior, Emmanuel, God with us to save us. That is the time. And now we are in the season celebrating this greatest accomplishment of this one. It is his greatest work of all. Yes, that one came not just to teach and preach, not to heal and exorcise demons. He came to suffer and to die. He came for his passion, so that he could be the bearer of the sins of all the world. Because God's anger doesn't just go away. No, it turns on someone. It turns on our substitute, his son, Yah, our Savior, God. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yeah, that's what we see this season. These are the works of God for our salvation. So what does Isaiah call us to do? He calls us to sing about it. Yes, even in the season of Lent, we sing. We rejoice. We rejoice because we reflect the heart that God has for us, that we have been rescued from our sins. even in this season of great repentance, we lift up a song of joyful praise to God because He is gracious, because He is forgiving, because Christ has lifted our sins off of us as He turned away God's anger from us upon Himself on the cross, so that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, we sing with joy. We sing of the God of our salvation, as Isaiah urges us to do. Shout aloud and sing for joy, daughter of Zion, for the Holy One of Israel is great among you. That truly is an alleluia, a praise to the Lord. But this news isn't to be kept to yourself. You don't walk around in life with your head down, grieving over your sins. No. You lift up your head proudly, and with a giant smile on your face, you carry yourself with a spring in your step, and on your lips, and in your mouth, and with your voice. You shout it aloud. You sing for joy to the Lord so that everyone can hear you. The whole world is going to hear it and see your joy, and they will know that God, Jehovah, Yah, is the God of salvation too. Give thanks to the Lord. Proclaim His name. Declare among the peoples what He has done. Who are the peoples that Isaiah speaks about in verse 12? That word refers to everyone else. For the Jewish nation, for God's chosen people, there was Israel. There was Jewish. There was Judah. There was the Jews. And then there was the peoples. Everyone else, the nations, the Gentiles. Every other nation on earth was included in that word, the peoples. Declare among the peoples what He has done. So here we are today, the people of God, His chosen people, yes, not Jews by birth, but children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ our Savior. And the peoples are everyone else, everyone who is currently outside of that beautiful protective bubble that is faith in Christ Jesus. In which bubble there is absolutely no condemnation. What do we do for all of those who are outside of that bubble, for whom condemnation is coming? We proclaim God's name to them. We declare among those peoples what God has done, not just for us, but for them too. Proclaim that name of the Lord. What an all-encompassing command that is from God. Because that doesn't just mean we say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. No, God's name isn't just exclusively what He's called. It's not just His title, Yah, Jehovah, the Lord, as He's addressed. His name that we proclaim is everything He is and everything that He has done to save us. Declare, as Isaiah tells us, what He has done. That's God's name, who He is, and all that His mighty acts have done to rescue us, His works of salvation. Peter said this, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. That's God's name, the name of salvation and how He accomplished that salvation for us. And so we proclaim that name. All of that name, His saving acts of mercy and grace and compassion for all the world to hear. Have you ever had such great news that you couldn't wait to tell it? News so good that you were bursting with joy to let it be known? It didn't matter who you told, a complete stranger who's wondering, why are you telling me this? Maybe the person at the front desk on the way out of the hospital as you tell them the great news that you've been cleared of cancer, or a person that you cross in the grocery store that you just got the news, you're so excited that your child is coming home safe from war. Why are they telling you this? That's the kind of joy that's bubbling up. The joy of God's grace that we have for his salvation. A reflection of God's joy for you. It's so good. It means so much. And it impacts so many that you just have to tell everyone. That's the attitude that Isaiah speaks about when he considers that joy that comes from God's grace. Surely God is my salvation. He promised, and he came through. And what great news that is. In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, proclaim his name, declare among the peoples what he has done, proclaim that his name is exalted. When we understand what the joy of God's grace means for us, we just have to shout it aloud from the rooftops to thank God for his goodness and deliverance. And it doesn't matter whom you tell. You just have to tell everyone, proclaim it. We have another great celebration coming up, a time when we will sing alleluias again. On Easter Sunday morning, we're going to praise God for his great acts of salvation in rising from the dead to give us life from the dead. We're going to be here singing those alleluias and songs of praise to God on that day. But why not your neighbor? Why not your relative? Why not your friend who doesn't know or who doesn't believe or who doesn't understand the great acts that God has done for his salvation too? Share that joy. Share that joy with all the world. Let them see and know the joy that God has for them, that he has rescued them from their sins. Should we be joyful in Lent? Absolutely. Isaiah urges us to do it. God commands it. For behold, look, God is my salvation. So I'm going to sing of that salvation, and I'm going to proclaim that salvation to the whole world. Let's do that now as we sing our song of praise to God, to the God of our salvation. Amen.